And I want to challenge you. This is not a challenge to fathers. This is a challenge to all of us as if it was our Father speaking to us. I don't know most of you. I don't know your background. I don't know your family. I don't know who your father is or was. But what we have here is the wisest man who ever lived on the earth. His name's Solomon. As a father speaking to his son. And several times through the book of Proverbs, you have this statement, my son. We'll see a couple of them here this morning. So here's the challenge. As we read this, the challenge is not to fathers. The challenge is to us from that wise man in our life. Maybe not our life, but the father figure, the person that knows best. You've got this Proverbs chapter 1, I'm jumping all over the place. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10 is where we're going to start. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. My message this morning is about the warning of this wise man Solomon to his son to stay away from sin, to stay away from sinners, to not fall into the trap of the enticement of sinners. Before we go further on to that, I do want to challenge fathers with something. I found an article just last night as I was preparing, and I thought, I need to read this on Sunday morning because we just need to hear this. I don't know who this author, and I don't know if he's written anything else that I could endorse, but as I read this article, I thought, wow, we need to hear this. So this part is a challenge to fathers, and we're going to move on to our text and to this verse. Here's the title. Fewer Americans are celebrating Father's Day because more kids are growing up without fathers. Let me read the article to you, and I hope it challenges you. Fewer people are celebrating Father's Day than ever before, a fact that may have less to do with the nature of the holiday than it does with the nature of American families. A U.S. Census Bureau study found that the percentage of children living in single-parent households increased from 12% in 1960 to 31% in 2016. During that same time frame, the percentage of children living with only their mother nearly tripled. These numbers are sobering because, according to recent studies, kids who lack an engaged father and so may be less likely to observe Father's Day are also less likely to experience a healthy, contented, and successful life. I had only celebrated a handful of Father's Day with my kids when I first recognized this truth. I was assigned to our police department's gang detail at the time, investigating young gang members in Los Angeles County. Our city was culturally and ethnically diverse, but we had a gang problem that seemed to transcend ethnic, cultural, or socioeconomic boundaries. The gang members we encountered were racially and ethnically diverse, representing local white, Hispanic, African-American, and Asian-American gangs. They came from a variety of economic settings, from very wealthy neighborhoods to impoverished segments of our community. As a young father myself, I wanted to understand what caused the young men and women in our community to become gang members in the first place. It certainly didn't seem to have anything to do with their race, culture, or economic status, given the fact that they didn't share any of these attributes. The more I got to know these young gang members, the better I understood their common dilemma. All of them suffered from lack of dad. This lack of dad looked different for each gang member, depending on his or her situation. Some gang members had fathers who were uninvolved, alcoholic, or deadbeat dads. Some never knew their fathers and were raised in single-parent households by their mothers or grandmothers. Some were part of multi-generational gang families with fathers who'd been incarcerated for most of their lives. Some simply had dads who worked obsessively and paid them little attention. I repeatedly observed the same shared attributes in these gang members. They were struggling to find direction or establish a moral compass, largely because they didn't have a father at home to model what it meant to be a man or to be loved by one. Many national studies have confirmed my own anecdotal observations. Fathers are essential to boys and girls. Studies have repeatedly shown that children who are raised with involved fathers are less likely to struggle academically, repeat a grade, get expelled or suspended from school, and get pregnant as teenage girls. Children with involved fathers are more likely to attend college, get a good job, and stay out of jail. Studies also show that kids raised without involved fathers are more likely to live in poverty, be abused or neglected, use drugs or alcohol, and commit crimes. Kids aren't the only who benefit from engaged dads, though. Fatherhood also benefits fathers. Researchers have recently discovered that fathers who are engaged with their kids are less likely to suffer from stress and depression and are more likely to have increased self-esteem, job and relationship satisfaction, and confidence in their parenting skills. Fatherhood increases one's competence in a number of important areas of character development, including the formation of patience, humility, and selflessness. My days as a gang detail officer taught me that every version of lack of dad is equally damaging. None is better or worse than any other. My days as a father taught me much more about myself, my priorities, and my role in the lives of my kids. So this year, as Americans spend far less time, energy, and money celebrating Father's Day than they do celebrating Mother's Day, I'm determined to develop a renewed enthusiasm for the holiday and a renewed appreciation for the role of fathers. Fathers, listen. You play an incredibly important role, not just in your family, but in our society. It's huge. It's huge. First, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down to the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. Verse 15, my son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Verse 17 is like a parenthesis in the middle of this. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. Verse 18, back to the warning. And they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. You've got several verses in a row here, starting with the my son introduction. They contain warnings and descriptions and the end results of sinners. The only two specific mentions of sinners are murderers and greedy people there in verse number 19. But as you study the passage, many more types of sinners are described. So this morning, and the challenge here is, you need to become familiar with the descriptions and the tactics of the group that the Bible calls sinners. Not by hanging out with them, but let's look at this passage this morning and see what it is that the Bible says, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Who is the warning about? Who is the warning to stay away from? What is the warning? In verse number 10, we see the warning. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Sinners want to entice you. If I was preaching this to teenagers, I'd probably have a different bunch of illustrations and a different list of enticements. But what I want you to understand is this. Whether you're a teenager, a child, or an adult, sinners want to entice you. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. To entice means to tempt. To entice is what Samson did to Delilah. I'm sorry, I said that backwards. What Delilah did to Samson. Judges chapter, find Judges, we're going to be reading a few verses there. Judges chapter 16 gives us the story. You know the story of Samson? You know the story of Samson and Delilah? You know that Delilah was the one who finally got Samson to break. Delilah was the one who finally enticed him to the point where he was willing to reveal where his secret of his great strength was. Judges, it's in the Old Testament there, chapter 16, and look at verse number 5. Our warning is this, my son, if sinners entice you, if sinners try to tempt you, if sinners try to get you to sin, consent thou not. Judges 16, 5, and the lords of the Philistines came up unto her, Delilah, and said unto her, entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth. And by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee every one of us 1,100 pieces of silver. You see two enticements happening right here. The lords of the Philistines, these were the enemy of Samson, the enemy of God, the enemy of the children of Israel, and they enticed Delilah. They enticed Delilah with something that very many of us are also enticed with, and that was money. I'm going to give you, we will give you 1,100 pieces of silver. That's a lot of silver. I don't know what it would have been worth today. 1,100 pieces of silver, Delilah, if you will entice him for us. So what are you supposed to entice him to do? Well, the enticement for you, Delilah, is 1,100 pieces of silver. We want you to entice him. You figure it out. So verse number 6, Delilah said to Samson, "Tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee." We're not going to read the rest of the passage there. I'll tell you the story. Samson, would you please tell me? Tell me where your great strength is. I love you, Samson. Okay, it's not written in there exactly, but the Bible says she started to cry. And she started to weep, and she said something like this: if you loved me, you would tell me. If you really loved me, you would tell me where your great strength was. Entice means to tempt. And that's exactly what Delilah did to Samson, and she tempted him to tell her where his great strength was. And there's going to be somebody that is going to tempt you to do something wrong. My son, if sinners entice thee, the enticement is going to come. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. The warning is that sinners want to entice you. You've got to understand that. You've got to understand that as you go through this life, there is somebody who wants you to mess up. There is somebody that wants you to sin. Okay, we can say it's the devil, and yes, that is true. But most likely there is somebody else in your circle of influence. There's somebody else that you know. Maybe it's a friend or somebody that calls himself a friend. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's somebody at school. Maybe it's a person of influence in your life, but there is somebody in your life, very likely you know who they are, that is going to entice you to sin. They may have already been enticing you to sin. They may have been tempting you to sin. My son, if sinners entice thee, they will entice you. There's so many different ways that sinners will try to entice you. I'll give you some examples. Worldly companies use TV ads, and they do that to entice you. If TV ads didn't work, they wouldn't do them. They work. TV ads, commercials, they work. They work very well. So they've learned that if we can put our product in front of people, then our people will buy our product. They're designed to entice you. Not all of them are bad. Most of them are they're probably along the lines of covetous, maybe, making us want something that we really don't need. Maybe you do need it, I don't know, but in most cases, probably something we don't need, but we want. But there are some that really are bad. A classic example will be the beer commercials. Why are those always the funny ones? Why are those the ones we remember? We're sitting around the table last night talking, and just as the family, and a beer commercial came up, and we're quoting a beer commercial, and realize, that was a beer commercial. That's how they work. So worldly companies are going to use TV ads. People your age are going to use something that we call peer pressure. Did you know peer pressure wasn't just for teenagers? Peer pressure is just your peer, somebody that, okay, so adults, we're not too intimidated by people younger than us, right? Once you grow out of your teen years, you can look back and you say, oh man, why was I so intimidated by my friends? Once you grow out of that, but your peers aren't teenagers anymore if you're an adult. Now your peers are your coworkers. And now your coworkers have influence over you, like kind of like your friends did back when you were teenagers. Peer pressure. And people your age are going to use that, and they're going to entice you. People you know can use emotions and hurt feelings to try to entice you. You're in Judges. Look at chapter 14. Judges chapter 14, look at verse 15. Judges 14, verse 15. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they said unto Samson's wife, now this isn't Delilah, this is somebody different. See, the Philistines were at it before Delilah was even on the picture. They're trying to find Samson's strength and everything. They're trying to beat him in battle. It came to pass on the seventh day that they said unto Samson's wife, entice thy husband, that he may declare unto us the riddle, lest we burn thee and thy father's house with fire. Have you called us to take what we have? Is it not so? And Samson's wife, here's what she did. She wept before him and said, thou dost but hate me and lovest me not. Thou hast put forth a riddle unto the children of my people and hast not told me. And he said unto her, behold, I have not told it to my father or my mother, and shall I tell it to thee? And she wept before him the 7 days while their feast lasted. And it came to pass on the seventh day that he told her, because she lay sore upon him, and she told the riddle to the children of her people. Samson put this riddle out. He said, nobody's ever going to guess this riddle. And she started crying. If you loved me, you'd tell me. If you really loved me, you would tell me what the answer to this riddle is. And she wept before him. And here's what I want you to understand. People use emotions sometimes and hurt feelings sometimes to get you to do what they want you to do. They will entice you that way. They'll entice you by making you feel guilty. And they'll say things like, if you don't do this, I'm going to hurt myself. If you break up with me, I'm going to kill myself. It's your fault. If you do this, if you make this decision to leave me, then it's your fault if I hurt myself. It's not your fault. But they're using emotions and they're using trying to get you to feel sorry for them so that you do something wrong. What are they doing? They're enticing you. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. The warning is there. Sinners will try to entice you. There will be people in your life that you don't even know who put pressure on you. Have you ever been driving the speed limit? Okay, there's a question right there by itself. Have you ever been driving the speed limit and somebody comes up behind you and they're just right on your bumper, just right on your tail, and you can tell they're pressuring you. Maybe you were the one doing the pressuring. You can be this example, but they're pressuring you. I remember when I first started driving, you know how nervous you are, what people think about you? I learned how to drive on my dad's 1973 F-150. It was yellow and white, and it had the big stick shift like this. And that's where you got the statement, if you can't find them, grind them, just get it in the gear there. I remember stalling that in the middle of an intersection down on Coors, big intersection. I remember thinking, this is so embarrassing. Everybody's looking at me. I remember thinking, I'm just going to get out and push the truck through the intersection because I couldn't get it started. Tried to start it, get it into gear, and I just kind of, you remember what a standard was? You remember what a standard was? And you try to get it into gear, and he kind of jumps and kind of hops through the, that's exactly what was happening. You remember those years? You remember that situation? You remember thinking what people around you thought? You know, it doesn't really matter what the people behind you think. You don't even know who they are. They come up behind you, you're going the speed limit, and you're thinking, oh man, they probably don't like me because I'm not going as fast. I need to get out of their way. What does it matter what they think? Isn't it an amazing thing how we care about what people we don't even know think about us? They put pressure on us, and we cave into the pressure of people we don't even know. There'll be people in your life who make it their personal challenge to get you to mess up. The Bible says, and I didn't even think of it till just right now, so I may not quote it exactly right, but talks about the wicked woman of Proverbs, the immoral woman of Proverbs, and the Bible says she hunts for the precious life, hunting for the precious life. There is somebody that will on purpose try to make you fall, try to get you to sin. So some people, it's people that you know, they use emotions, but some people, they make it their personal challenge. I'm going to get them to mess up. Well, misery loves company. Maybe they've sinned and they want to get you to sin. I don't know all the reasons for it, but they want you to do that with them. Maybe they just want to see you fall. A lot of it just has to do with there really is a devil, and he really is walking about as a roaring lion. He really does want to destroy your life. There's somebody in your life that would like it no better than to see you just fail, to see you sin. This is the way the devil works. He puts people up and he builds them up and then he destroys them. Look at the teen stars. Look at the ones that back whenever they were little kids, they used to, you know, sing on the Disney Channel or whatever it was. And then they grew up and then they became rock stars. And a little bit later on, their life is destroyed and they're on drugs and they lose their kids. And the devil just works that way. He uses people and then he throws them away. He will do what he can to destroy you. And there's somebody that would love to get you to mess up. They like to see people like you fail. They would love to see you lose your temper and be a bad testimony for Christ. They'd love to see you lose your purity. They'd love to see you fail. There'll be people in your life who feel guilty about the way that they're living. So they'll try to get you to join them in their sin so they don't feel so bad about themselves. Just understand this. Sinners will entice you. Here's the warning. My son, if sinners entice you, consent thou not. First, understand that that is going to happen. There is somebody, there will be somebody, maybe there already is right now, and you're thinking in your mind, that is the person who's trying to entice me. My son, if sinners entice you, they will entice you. They will tempt you. The warning right off the bat. From the Father, not God the Father, but this wise Father, my son, My son, listen to this. I'm going to tell you something that will help you. I'm going to tell you something that will protect you. I'm going to tell you something that will give you a successful life. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. The warning, they're going to entice you. The decision, when sinners entice you, you have the option to consent or refuse. You have that option. Just because somebody tempts you doesn't mean you have to sin. Remember Adam and Eve? And Adam said, she made me do it. And Eve said, the devil made me do it, or the serpent made me do it. And we had this idea, well, if there's a temptation that comes, I just have to give in to it. No, you don't have to give in to sin. Understand this. Just because there's a temptation doesn't mean that that's what you have to do. We have this idea that anything that comes our way must be something that we should do. So many times it's going to be temptation. So many times it's going to be sin that comes your way. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Nancy Reagan started the Just Say No. Do you remember that? Just Say No to Drugs. I believe it was Nancy Reagan that really pushed that and started that. It was whenever I was a kid. We had a video whenever I was a teenager. It was on gun safety. Had this little catchy song in it. Stop. Don't touch. Leave the area. Tell an adult. And this was before rap music was even popular. All right? And it was the idea, if you see this gun and you don't know whose it is or anything, stop, don't touch, leave the area, tell an adult. Telling the kids, listen, just because you see something that's wrong doesn't mean you have to go to it. Stop, don't touch, leave there. Yeah, you have a choice. You have a choice whether you're going to sin. The Bible says, flee fornication. The Bible says, flee youthful lust. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. It's just so clear. If there is a temptation, just say no, consent thou not. Joseph decided to refuse to consent when he was tempted. You remember the story? He was alone with his boss's wife in the house, and she tried to tempt him to sin with her, and he just left. He ran away. In fact, he ran away so quick, he left his coat in her hands as she was holding on to it. He decided, and he made a decision not to consent. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Daniel decided to refuse to consent when he was tempted to eat of the king's meat, and he purposed in his heart not to defile himself. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego decided to refuse to consent when they were tempted, and they were tempted to bow down to the false god or this statue of, I believe it was a statue of Nebuchadnezzar, and they were tempted to fall down and worship this statue, and they said, no, we're not going to do that. And Nebuchadnezzar said, I'll throw you into the fiery furnace. They said, we're not afraid of you. Our God can deliver us, but if not, we're still not going to bow down to you. We're not going to consent. We've decided we are not. That's the decision. My son, with sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Jesus was tempted in every way that you and I will ever be tempted. And he decided over and over again to refuse to consent when he was enticed. Well, what's the reason? Well, why should I make that decision? Why not join up with sinners? Because if you partner up with sinners, you will get involved in the sins they're committing and you'll face the same judgment. Sinners, in verse 11, in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 11, sinners will entice you to join with them in their sins. If they say, the Bible says, Proverbs 1:11, if they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause, let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down to the pit. We shall find all precious substance, we shall fill our houses with spoil, casting thy lot among us, let us all have one purse. They want you to join with them in their sin. Sinners will entice you to harm others. Sinners will entice you to hurt innocent people. Sinners often don't have any reason to hurt the people they hurt, but they're just looking for fun. They're looking for excitement. The Bible says, it gives us just a perfect example. Come, let us, we're going to lay wait for blood. We're going to lurk for the innocent without cause. It reminds me of some friends of mine in high school that they would drive around with their parents didn't know where they were, and they didn't end up doing much with their life. But they would drive around at night looking for people, and they would pull up to them and come up to them and just punch them in the face and then just drive away. The one kid that I'm picturing, we went to school together, ended up doing jail time. I'm not sure where he's at right now. Let's lurk privily for the innocent without cause. The same group would get baseball bats and play mailbox baseball. You'll drive down the road and just knock people's mailboxes off. Okay, that's not hurting people, but they're causing trouble for no reason. And they said, just come with us. Come with us. We're going to spend time together. I remember reading an article about some bored teens that shot and killed a man. He turned out he was an Australian baseball player several years ago. He's in the country just touring and just looking around, and they were bored, so they shot him, and they found him later, and they figured out the reason why they shot him. Why? We were bored. We were looking for something to do. Come with us. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let's lay wait for blood. What's the lie? Sinners tend to lurk secretly. They love the dark. They stay up late. You know, lots of people get in trouble when they stay up late. Does the phrase nightlife usually have a good meaning or a bad meaning? Usually it's not good. Every once in a while, our security cameras at the church, they'll pick people walking in and out of the parking lot. 3-4 in the morning, walking around in and out of the parking lot, up to no good. We see what's left over after they're done. And we have one video of a guy driving in the middle of the night, and he saw our planters out there where we put plants in. And they're beautiful, you know, the copper color, silver color, and all that. He pulled up, he opened up his trunk, and he ran up to the middle of the night. He ran up and he grabbed the pot, and he dumped it out because he was going to steal our copper pot. Then he realized it was just painted copper. It was plastic from Walmart, and he just left it there. But we picked up that on our video. You know, sinners will attempt to convince you that if you join them, you won't get caught. Nobody's ever going to know. You're going to hear that. It's part of the enticement. It's part of the temptation. Nobody's ever going to know. Look, if you do this with us, we'll do this at night. We'll do it in the dark. Nobody will ever know. You won't get in trouble. We haven't gotten in trouble. Whenever I was teaching school in Texas, we had a group of kids. It was a Christian school, but they were just rebels in the school and hanging out with some other kids they shouldn't have been hanging out with. And they would go around the teachers' houses and they were egging their cars and their windows and just not in good, clean fun, but just trying to cause trouble, trying to throwing paint, you know, things like that. And nobody could catch them. They weren't getting caught. These things just kept happening. They painted their faces bright pink. And then they took a selfie. And then they started showing the selfie around. And we figured out who it was that was egging the teachers' houses and who was causing the trouble. You know, we preached this last, I think it was last week, the week before, if you sin, you will be caught. Your sin will find you out. The lie is, though, you'd be secret. Nobody will know. Sinners will attempt to deceive you into thinking that you could sin anonymously. Chapter 1, verse 11, if they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us work privily or privately for the innocent without cause. When sinners tell you that you can sin without getting caught, they're lying, because the Bible says, behold, you've sinned against the Lord. Be sure your sin will find you out. That's the lie. We've got to finish. We're almost done. The associations. What are the associations? It's interesting that the grave and hell are the two word pictures that sinners use to convince people to follow them. Come with us, let's lay wait for blood, let's work privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as a grave and whole as those that go down into the pit, as they associate with that. I've got to skip, I've got to move quickly here. What's the bait they use? How do they convince you? Verse number 13, we shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Sinners will entice you with the rewards of sin, and you got to understand this. We'll probably not be able to finish this message, but you got to get this. They will tempt you with something that is a reward. They'll tempt you with something that you would want. In this case, precious substance. Fill our houses with spoil. You know, sinners are going to entice you with so many things. They'll entice you with money. They'll come to you and say, look, here's a great opportunity for you. Now, maybe not just all teenagers, but this is the adult realm, big time. You know, if you do this, you can make it big. If you sell out your principles here, if you just lie about this, you lie on this report, you can make it big in the company. You can, your career can just go places. Fame, they'll entice you with fun. Here's a big way that sinners entice you with acceptance. You can be my friend. How many times have you heard that? I mean, it's probably junior high that you hear that mostly, but I'll be your friend or you're not going to be my friend. Maybe that's younger than that. Maybe that's elementary school. I'm not sure. But it's amazing how we fall for that as teenagers and even adults. They accept me. You know, that's why most people get involved in gangs. They found acceptance there. They get involved, they get in over their head, and then they can't get out. But the reason they got involved in the first place was because somebody accepted them. Maybe they don't have a dad at home, as we read in that article. They don't have a dad at home. They don't have a father figure. So they're looking for acceptance from somebody of significance, and then they'll go to a gang and they'll be accepted there. There was a girl that we worked with in Indiana when we were out there, and she'd ride on our bus route, and terrible things happened to her. And she told us about what happened, and we thought, wow, how did that happen? And she just told us all these terrible things that happened to her. And she said, well, I wanted to be part of this gang. And in order to be part of the gang, that's what I had to let them do to me. Awful things. Why? To be accepted. To be accepted. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Prestige, power. Think about how the devil tempted Jesus. Jesus is there. He's been fasting for 40 days. The devil comes and he says, you can turn these stones into bread, food. He said, you can jump off of the pinnacle of the temple and be safe. Protection. He said, he took him to the highest mountain and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And he said, if you'll bow down to me, you can have the authority, you have power over all these kingdoms. Power. You know, he uses the same things to try to entice you. The things that we would want. Then there's an investment. Sinners want you to unite with them. Verse 14, casting not lot among us, we shall all have one purse. And then you see the path. Verse number 15, my son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. It's important to stay away. It's important to stay away from where they are. There's some places Christians just shouldn't go. There's some places that are, maybe they're known as hangouts. I don't know where the hangouts are because I was never the cool kid that got invited to the hangouts. But there's the party houses. There's an apartment complex, and I'm on the app, Next Door Neighbor app, and I'm on that. I follow just kind of what's going on in the neighborhood. I want to know what's going on. And this one apartment keeps coming up, kind of in our neighborhood, this one apartment. Not just an apartment complex, but one apartment in that complex where the parties always happen. They're always up late at night. And just a few weeks ago, there was a shooting that happened at that apartment complex, right in that apartment, because those people were hanging out there. Stay away from those places. There's some places you shouldn't go. There's some streets you probably shouldn't hang out with. There's some kids where you shouldn't go to their houses. There's some times you shouldn't be outside playing because there's some friends out there that are just going to be bad influences on you. The path. It's important to refuse to spend time with sinners. It's important not to go in the same direction as sinners. It's important not to start going in the same direction as sinners are going. That direction, the Bible talks about verse number 16. Their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. They're quick to go towards evil. They're quick to turn to hurt others. They're quick to be violent, as we see in verse 16. There is a solution, and that's in verse 17, and that's what I'm doing this morning. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. If you see it, if you're warned about it in time, you can be safe. We watched a bird. There were some people studying hawks, so they were trying to. We lived in a neighborhood right next to our house. There was a park, and there's these hawks that lived up in a tree, and they're the coolest hawks. They would hunt, and they would take birds out of the sky. And I mean, they didn't hunt for little animals on the ground. They hunted birds. They're so cool to watch. But there's this group that's trying to study them. So in order to catch them, they spread this big net out that was so fine and so thin, the hawk couldn't see it. And then they put an owl on the other side on a post. The owl is the enemy of this hawk, so the hawk flew in to try to scare the owl away, didn't see the net and flew right into the net and got tangled up, and they were able to catch it and, you know, put a tag around its foot, and then they let it go. But if the bird, if that hawk would have seen the net, it wouldn't have flown into it. If you see the destruction, if you see the bait, if you see the way that this person works, if you see the temptations and you know what to look for, you know what to be aware of, you can avoid it. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. Then it finishes up verse 18. Sinners will end up destroying their own lives. Look at verse 18. They lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. You got to understand, this sin always has consequences. These people we're talking about, I've referred to them as sinners, and I understand that every one of us are a sinner. I understand that I am a sinner, and I've referred to these people as that. These people that when sinners entice thee, consent thou not. That group of people, they think they're having fun at the expense of others, but in reality, they're hurting themselves. They hurt themselves as they hurt others. The end result of the life of a sinner is destruction, and if you go along with sinners, you'll be destroyed just like them. And I didn't give you a lot of examples here because I had a lot of material I wanted to give you this morning. Here's what you need to get. Listen, somebody is going to tempt you to sin. Somebody wants you to go down that road. Somebody is going to smooth talk you. Somebody's going to tempt you with something that you've always wanted. And if you go that direction and you sin with them, you will be destroyed. That's just the way it works. It leads to destruction. Verse number 18. They lay wait for their own blood. They look privileged for their own lives. Verse 19, so are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away life of the owners thereof. Stay away from that. Stay away from that. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Father, I pray that you would give us a new determination not to do wrong, a new desire to stand for what's right, Lord, I pray that you would help our teenagers specifically. Lord, I pray that you would help them to say no to temptation. Help them to say no when the smooth-talking person comes and wants them to do wrong. Lord, I pray that you protect them. Lord, even adults, it's Father's Day, and I know that there's a target on every father that's here. The devil wants to destroy them. He wants to get them to fall, because if he can get them to fall, he'll destroy their family. Lord, I pray that you protect them, and I pray that you'd give them the character and the desire to consent not.